This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities with the weekly wrap-up of the wheat markets for January 15th. Well, we had quite a week this week in the wheat space. We started out strong looking for a bullish crop report, and we certainly got that, especially in the corn market. But the wheat market is standing on its own with its own set of fundamentals that are quite strong. And it's just being spurred on by the strong corn and bean markets as well. For wheat, the crop reports were kind of neutral, to be honest. A little bit on the bullish side as far as feed usage and ending stocks, but acreage was, would be termed more of a bearish stance, and stocks were pretty much in line. But it was Russia's announcement of export tax that really pushed this market later in the week. So let's look at the numbers from the crop report first. We had wheat ending stocks lower 26 million bushels. Now that came on a feed usage number that was increased 25 million bushels, and then wheat plantings were higher, so they shaved another million bushels off of that. So that's where the 26 million drop came from. Ending stock sitting at 836 million bushels. That's a pretty comfortable number. It's not huge. It's not extremely tight. And I think it sits fine. The report for corn and beans, they took yield down another 3.8 bushels an acre, down to 172. Production was lowered 325 million from last month at 14.182 billion bushels. And ending stocks were lowered 148 million. At 1.552 billion bushels. They lowered exports, they lowered ethanol usage, feed usage, food usage. They lowered everything they could to keep these ending stocks from getting any tighter. But the bottom line is, you can't have exported, as much as we have already in corn and presume that you'll be able to actually lower your export number. It doesn't really make sense. But obviously they're struggling to keep these ending stocks at a number that at least would suggest to the market that it's going to be fairly comfortable. But I think that's just not going to be the case. And soybeans too, they lowered yield a half a bushel an acre down to 50.2. Production was down 35 million at 4.135 billion bushels. Ending stocks were lowered 35 at 140 million. So 140 million. Just a couple years ago, we were over 500 million, which is a huge, was way off the charts high, and now we're nearing an all-time record low for stocks to use. So soybeans have had just such a dramatic turn, as has corn for that matter, in the fundamental outlook from just a few months ago. Early in the growing season this year, we were looking at massive crops and big carryout. Well, later, the last half of the growing season was dry, and it just kept getting drier and drier. So yields kept going down and down late in the season, and here we are. Now, shorter crops than expected here in the United States, and then China stepped in with just absolutely off-the-charts demand, especially for soybeans, but also for corn. And that really stoked the bull market higher. So it's a demand-led bull market. And now we're throwing some weather issues on it in South America, with drought conditions across much of Argentina stretching up into southern Brazil. And we're seeing yields dropping significantly across much of the growing regions in corn and beans for Argentina and Brazil. So that's a quick summary of the supply-demand report for corn, wheat, and soybeans for the United States. For world, we had wheat ending stocks lowered 3 million tons to 313 million tons. Corn was down 5 million at 283. Soybeans down 1 million ton at 84. Production for corn in Argentina was down 1.5 million tons to 47.5. Brazil corn was lowered 1 to 109. In soybeans, Argentina was lowered 2 million tons to 48, and soybeans unchanged at 133. The winter wheat plantings report, we had all wheat at 31.99 million acres. That was up 1.58 million over last year. Hard red winter wheat acres were up 938,000 over last year at 22.3 million. Soft red was up 666,000 at 6.23 million. and white wheat was up 9,000 at 3.48 million acres. Now in hard red acres, most of the increase came from Kansas, which was up 700,000 acres. Montana was up 150,000, North Dakota up 100,000, Oklahoma up 50,000, Texas was down 100,000. So a pretty big jump in hard red winter wheat acres. It actually was a surprise to me. I thought that soft red acres would be up more than hard red. And that simply, obviously, was not the case. So even despite that, even with hard red winter wheat acres that much higher over Chicago, we still saw Kansas City spreads gaining against Chicago. The front month March gained 11 cents with KC improving against Chicago, but the new crop July's gained 17 cents. So here we are looking at these spreads that are pretty close to getting back to a premium position over Chicago, especially in the new crop. And at the beginning of August, we were sitting at 75 under. We've actually rallied 62 cents in that new crop spread. Now the front months are still fairly discount. March is 32 under, the May is 30 under, but July's are only 12 under, Sep up 9 under, and December's are down, 7 under. So obviously the carry is helping that as well. But clearly we're on a trajectory here. We've had quite a surge actually this week in that spread. It probably due for a correction, but I just don't see us pulling back here. With the drop in production that we saw out of Russia and shorter than we expected here in the United States, supplies of hard red winter wheat are getting very tight. Argentina had a smaller crop than expected, and they're talking about shutting off wheat exports there. Those are your major sources of hard red winter wheat around the world, and two of them have effectively been shut off. So that leaves the door wide open for U.S. hard red winter wheat exports. So again, even with the increase in acres, it sure looks like that market is well intact. Now, Russia imposed their another export tax. They've been kind of hinting at this last week, but they are going to do that. So the first tax that they announced a month ago was a 25 euro per ton tax starting February 15th. And that effectively shut off all offers coming out of Russia. So we haven't seen them really sell much at all since that announcement was made, even though it was in December, to start in mid-February. Well, domestic prices for wheat and bread and feed have not backed off in Russia. So the government is stepping in again, and they are doubling the tax. So we're taking up to 50 euros per ton for wheat exports. That's going to start March 1. So 25 euros starting Feb 15, and it bumps up to 50 on March 1st. Now they're going to extend that, or they'll carry it through the end of June like they were with the original tax. But this week they announced that most likely they will have some sort of tax on new crop exports as well. So this just blows the doors off of really any kind of pressure for this wheat market, other than Australia, which is kind of, you know, wrapping up their selling program after a huge crop. But everybody else has had tight production, and especially the Europeans who had short crops, their prices have been elevated above the rest of the world for months, and that's not going to improve anytime soon either. So this is pushing the market into it's a demand-driven market, but it's going to have to get into a supply rationing market here fairly soon, in particular for corn and beans, even more especially so. But that's going to pull wheat higher. Wheat on its own, I would expect to see much more export business come to the United States. Now the last couple of weeks we've seen some pretty disappointing export sales. Yesterday it was at 232,000 tons, which is, it was below the low end of the range of estimates. But I would expect that's going to change. Now Egypt put out a tender this week and they got 5 offers. Russia was way above everybody else. The U.S. was competitive, but they had a bit of sticker shock as they looked at prices that were $30 a ton higher than their last purchase a month ago. Well, there's your $30 Russian tax. So what the government is doing is it's just pushing world prices higher, and they're coming up to equal Russian prices. So, you know, the government has effectively shut off all wheat exports out of Russia for the next 5 months. And it's just a matter of what kind of crop they get to determine what their tax will be for a new crop. But this is going to be a multi-year effort to restore stocks and lower prices in Russia, which is the world's largest wheat seller and price setter. The next would come the United States, but I think it's a multi-year process there as well, especially with corn and beans, because you don't have that supply from South America shoring up the world supply situation for corn and beans. And frankly, that just adds more fuel to the bullish wheat fire. You know, feed grain prices continue to soar around the world. That's just going to pull wheat into the mix, and it's got to protect its supplies as well. I also want to talk about what I believe will be an epic battle for acres this spring, primarily between corn and soybeans, obviously. But with winter wheat that's already planted, much of that went into dormancy in pretty rough shape, especially in the far western plains. You know, those farmers have options, that if the wheat doesn't look that great, they'll just tear it out and plant another crop. So the wheat, I think that's another reason Kansas City is pushing higher so much more diligently than the other markets, is simply because it's got to protect those acres that are already planted. The other thing is, for spring wheat acres, you know, corn and beans can be grown all the way into western North Dakota and even into eastern Montana for soybeans. Well, that's spring wheat country. So I think there's going to also be a battle between spring wheat and corn and soybeans across the Dakotas, Minnesota, maybe into eastern Montana, but I think primarily the Dakotas and Minnesota, where that's an easily switched out crop. And, you know, spring wheat, it shows signs some days of being able to work higher against Chicago, but I think that it's still got some work to do. If it's going to keep pace with corn and beans, it's going to have much more robust price action to the upside. And I don't see that really happening yet. So I think that has yet to play out. As we get into spring, into April, and seeing where prices are, I think corn and beans are just going to be fighting with each other on the upside for acreage. And in the meantime, Minneapolis is going to get caught up in the fray, just trying to protect its own acreage base. So there's going to be a lot of dynamics going on this spring. And it looks like, you know, these prices are generally going to stay elevated, it would seem. Weather in South America, we had some rain this week, but as we get into the last couple weeks of January, they're calling for hot and dry conditions to return across much of Argentina and southern Brazil. So there's still a weather market going on in South America, and it comes on top of a huge demand-led bull market. You know, these are just potentially very dynamic markets, and we've already seen the markets just rally huge. Corn and soybeans, you look at the charts, and they're just straight up on the dailies and the weeklies. But we don't have that parabolic type of move yet. Yeah, they're straight up, but it's not like they're up 70 cents or a dollar in one day, which if you see that kind of price action, then you know you are in the final days of the bull market. But we haven't had the panic buying yet. The breaks are very well supported. We saw that in corn following the crop report with a gap higher, and then the market pulled back, got into the gap, couldn't fill it, and reversed back up. Very solid buying underneath both of these markets. And we just haven't seen the panic, the parabolic price action yet. So we're waiting for that. That would tell us that we're pretty much running out of steam on the upside, at least for this phase of the bull market. Then you have your significant correction as you get into, you know, February and March, and then you start your acreage battle as you get into April and May. That's the way I see this playing out. So we're, you know, still long-term bullish, still think there's plenty to go on the upside. With wheat, it's probably going to get a bit of a pullback here, but I think all the grains are still going to continue to work their way higher over the next few months. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.